British pop rock trio Scouting for Girls, Roy Stride, Peter Allard and Greg Churchhouse are celebrating the 15th anniversary of their platinum-selling second album, Everybody Wants to Be on TV, with a 2026 tour and a new album. First up, fans can get their hands on a very special re-release of the anniversary album, with new picture disc and vinyl formats, which is out now. They'll then play 22 dates on the Everybody Still Wants to Be on TV 2026 tour, visiting cities around the UK. You know, full details on this podcast. The chart toppers, whose hits include indie pop anthems She's So Lovely, Elvis Ain't Dead, Heartbeat, and from the anniversary album, their number one, This Ain't a Love Song, have also confirmed their 8th studio album will land next year. Pre-order the new album and you can gain early access to new songs and behind-the-scenes content, plus first dibs on tour tickets and full details and links in this post. And to tell us all about it, I'm delighted to say that my special guest today is Roy himself. So, hey, buddy, what a great anniversary you've got in store. Tell us all about it, the re-release, the tour and the new album.
Hey, Graham, it is lovely. It really is lovely to see you. Because I think when we go back at least 15 years, probably almost 20 to when we first started. So it is great to see you again. And you did such a cracking introduction. I don't think I need to say much more. But, you know, we've always been a sort of band who, you know, any excuse for a party or a gig. And we wanted to do something for this album for its 10th anniversary, but it was during lockdown. And so we ended up just doing a couple of track-by-track releases and talked about it. So this is a chance for fans of the album to hear a few of the deeper cuts on that album on the tour. And at the same time, we're always making new music, so we're going to be recording a new album over this year. And this like new edition of the album, which comes as a lanyard, will let you sort of, you know, see behind the scenes of making a record, writing it, recording it, playing it live for the first time on the tour, and then the album will come out at the end of the tour. So it's a really busy year for us, and it's taken a lot of time to set it up. And it's like, you're actually the first interview I've done about any of this. So it's kind of, it's quite nice to speak to a friend about it, first of all, to see if it actually makes sense. Because it seems like that introduction was so long, it seems like we've bitten off a lot,
Yeah, I was just trying to condense all that down. I mean, the thing is for fans to get their head around some of that, and we'll talk about each of the three dealings, but tell me, the 2026 tour, that's going to tie in both the reissue and the new material. Will you be playing Everybody Wants to Be on TV in its entirety, or a mix of the album, other greatest hits, and songs from the forthcoming 8th album?
It will, we'll be doing most of that album, because it was only half an hour, that album. So it'll also give us time to do all the big hits, which everyone loves. But we'll be playing songs we've not played for 15 years from that album. And I think we'll play one new song, maybe one, maybe two. But yeah, it's going to be, if anyone's ever seen Scouting for Girls, the whole night is about taking people on a really fun sing-along nostalgic ride. So it'll be everything you want from the night.
Well, before we talk about the Everybody Wants to Be on TV album, let me ask you then about the new album. You've announced a brand new album alongside the anniversary reissue, and you say it's going to be coming out after the tour. What can you tell me about it? Have you got an album name yet? How are the new songs shaping up? How do they reflect where Scouting for Girls is in 2026?
It's a work in progress, and that's why we've done this special lanyard version. So this will actually allow you to see the process happening. It's really for super fans, because there'll be videos every couple of weeks of me going, do you like this song? This is a song which I've got. I think this is a good title. Is this the direction we want to go? And I'll be kind of, I think we will be swayed a bit, you know, if we play a song and people love it, on that there's a separate area which you can get to, then that will take us in some direction. I've got a provisional album title in my head, and I've got four or five really great songs, which again I'm sort of working with the direction at the moment because I'm in LA. It's sunny. The music is going to be sunny and fun and happy, a bit soulful, a bit Motown, a bit, it's just, it's music to make you smile, which
And
is kind of always.
is it still so early stages you've not got an album name yet or a working title?
I've got a couple, but I haven't decided on them because not that's how early it is, Graham. That's how early it is. Now you're worrying me.
Are you
I
not
feel I
going to
should.
give me an idea? Are you not going to give me a title, something you're
I
working on?
can't. I can't at the moment because I've got one which I think is brilliant, but I think it also could be rubbish. So I don't know whether I need to play the songs through to some people first.
And is there a nod to your early sound, or is this going to be something new entirely?
I think it's always when the three of us get together in a room or record music together, it always feels a bit like that first album. And the more I've learned about recording and writing, and for many years I tried to get away from that first album sound, not in a way I didn't want it, but it was very simple. It's like three guys in a room and a bit of guitar on top, and that was it. And so sometimes I've gone to points where I've put, there's been 200 tracks on a song. But I think trying to make it work, make the songs as good so they work when there's just three guys in a room really is the key to a great song. So it will be, it'll be classic scouting.
Brilliant. Well, let me reflect then on Everyone Wants to Be on TV. I remember at the time when you wrote that, after the 2008 Brit Awards, you decided it needed rewriting. You scrapped it and you start again because you wanted to write the perfect pop song. And then up pops This Ain't a Love Song, the perfect pop song, went straight to number one in April 2010. You must have felt justified in delaying the album release on the back of that. But what happened to the songs you scrapped? Have you ever revisited them, rewritten them, put them out? Or is it something you could still do?
We did, oh, for the 10th anniversary, we did release some of the demos, which we thought were really good. And going back to them after 10 years, they really weren't that good. So we were quite justified in like rewriting them. But the one thing I will say is This Ain't a Love Song was always the first song we had written for the second album. And it was the record label which said they weren't good enough. And that included This Ain't a Love Song. So we ended up writing some of the other songs for the album, which I don't know whether they were better or worse, but it was definitely an album because the first album had sold over 1 million records. Suddenly there's all this pressure from record labels and producers and on yourselves, to create something that will follow that album up. And I think we did definitely there were I don't know whether we overthought it, but there was definitely a way more thought going into the writing and recording and marketing process than there was on the first record.
I know that you're always in pursuit of perfect pop. How challenging, though, is it to write future songs? There's always a next album. Do you feel pressure of your previous success?
I used to. I think that doesn't. I've learned now that the only thing that's important is that you love the song and not you, Graham, but I love the song. That's the most important thing is like, because that's how that first album came about. It was because I genuinely loved those songs and I'd given up ever thinking we were going to get any success on the back of it. And then for many years, I wrote songs thinking, oh, I think the fans will like this, or I think radio might play this, or this, could sound good on Radio One. And I kind of learned over the years that the songs that do the best are the ones that I genuinely love.
You've obviously got great longevity. What's the secret of that? And is it the fans, the music itself, or something else?
Think the secret to it is just loving what we do. We would be doing this if we hadn't sold any records. And for 10 years before we got a record deal, we were still doing the same thing. We used to meet twice a week, write music, play songs, and do a gig every month, you know? And that was our life from the age of like 15 to 27 without any success. And I think we'd still be doing that now, even if it hadn't, we just love it. And I think that is the secret. And I think people, we love being on stage. And I think when you watch people doing something they love, it's infectious, you know? And that's our whole thing now, is just like, you know, on stage is just making people happy and making like an amazing atmosphere for that hour we're on stage.
Brilliant. Okay, well, listen, Roy, I could talk to you all day. I know time's pressing. Yeah, you've got a lot more interviews to do, but thank you for making time for me to talk to me about the big plans for the 15th anniversary. I know I'll speak to you in the meantime, but I'm also thinking in a couple of years' time, we're going to be having the 20th anniversary of your first album. So I suppose that'll be another big celebration. But
excuse for a party. Any excuse for a party, mate.
As ever, thank you for your time, buddy.
Cheers, Graham.